Welcome back to another Patriots Roster Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. Believe it or not, it's Friday, July 13th here at Gillette Stadium, and I'm Lori Bransky bringing you Brian Lowe, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo with the latest roster report, including what's been going on with Troy Brown.
Okay, thanks, Lori. We are here with a roster report on this mid-July Friday, 2 weeks from training camp. Can you feel the excitement, Andy and Paul? It's upon us, isn't it?
It's palpable.
It's palpable.
Yes. It's very exciting.
And on this week, as we near training camp, it appears that Troy Brown will officially be back in the fold very soon. I'd say it's reportedly that Troy Brown is signing a one-year deal, but the player himself pretty much said so yesterday, that he is coming to terms on a new deal with the Patriots, and the team hasn't officially announced anything. But most likely, it will happen, and he'll be here to participate with the other wide receivers that this team has. And when he gets here on the field, it'll be quite a revamped group of wide receivers than one that he's seen in the past. So where does Troy Brown fit in on this year's team, you guys think? And will there be more competition for him than he's ever seen before?
No. I think he's the number four receiver. I think there's four slots that you can, barring injury, book Moss, Stallworth, Welker, Brown. And the competition starts from there on the depth chart.
Yeah, I kind of agree, because I don't think if it was clear that he wouldn't make this team, he probably wouldn't go through
there's
the motions.
There's no way they're going through this whole circus, and then Bill Belichick's cutting him at the end of August.
He's not. Troy Brown will not be cut by the Patriots.
And you know, in addition to all that, you know, Brown saying, you know, that he never left, you know, yesterday as part of his, you know, his talk at the charity event that he was at, and Belichick making all of those comments. I just can't imagine that, you know, the only question all along has been health. Evidently, they feel good enough about the knee right now to know that he's going to be available at some point in 2007, and it looks like he's going to be available perhaps even for training camp. So I agree with Andy. Those are the top four in my mind, and the rest of the guys are fighting probably for the other two spots.
Two, yeah. And Belichick has said several times over the course of the last couple of months that he does expect Troy Brown to be back. And so no surprise there as he joins his fellow Marshall receiver. We'll see who is ranked one and two in Marshall's all-time books between
those
two.
Well, Randy Moss already said he considers himself the second best.
Exactly.
And Troy laughed at that, by the way.
Troy kind of
that was pretty funny.
But, you know, Troy Brown will be back, and then it's, you know, Rashay Caldwell, Jabbar Gaffney, Kelly Washington, guys are in who are in the mix, Chad Jackson. Now, as far as Troy, the versatility aspect, special teams, defense, does he get some time? Does he spend some time at either other and any other positions aside from wide receiver this training camp to continue to express his versatility?
Well, I think they know what they have as a cornerback. They have an emergency cornerback. You're certainly not putting him on the roster to see any significant action at cornerback. But, yeah, when you're checking off the comparison of guys as you're filling out the roster, that is a legitimate, you know, seventh option for Troy Brown. He can be your emergency cornerback, your emergency quarterback, as he was for however many weeks last year, punt returner, kick returner, all those roles that he can fill in an emergency. But I still think he makes the roster because he's still a pretty good receiver. He caught 43 passes, whatever, last year, stayed healthy.
His highest total since 2002.
Right. I think he had his best year since back then. I thought, you know, the key obviously was staying on the field, first of all. But, and again, we've talked about this, it's telling where Tom Brady was looking when he needed a play with the season on the line. He was looking for number 80. And I think that says something about what he still has left in the tank.
Absolutely. And when we talk about cornerback, and certainly, you know, it would be in an emergency role as it has been in the past if he plays cornerback at all. But there is a date coming up that's a key date for another cornerback who is on the Patriots roster, so to speak. That's Asante Samuel. The franchise tag saga continues. But this Monday is the deadline for any players who are given the franchise tag offer to come to agreement on a long-term deal with their current teams. That deadline is Monday. It's generally July 15th. It'll be this July 16th because the 15th is a Sunday. So come Monday, that option is out the door, and he can either sign the one-year tender or decide not to sign and not appear to start out. What do you guys make of this deadline? How important is this deadline, and is there any chance that anything happens before Monday?
I would say pretty remote at this point. You know, if you know the sides are to be believed, and I know that some of the reports that we've read, Samuel's agent has said they haven't had any talks lately. Now, that could obviously change. I don't see it changing at this time of year because I think a lot of the Patriots coaching staff is, you know, wrapping up vacation time to be to be perfectly honest. And, you know, maybe we might see some draft picks get tied up here and there. I know we saw at least one with Mike Richardson earlier in the week.
But Clint Oldenburg, supposedly today.
So, I mean, I really just don't see, you know, all of a sudden you go this all this whatever many months since February. We're going, you know, 5-6 months since February where you're in this limbo, and all of a sudden in the last 3 or 4 days – it gets tied up, neat as a pin, and there's a long-term extension. I don't see that happening.
And just to clarify, Paul did a little research on this. The trade option would still be available. He could still be traded elsewhere and sign a long-term deal elsewhere after July 16th. It's just with the Patriots, he cannot sign a long-term extension.
There's two ways it could be done. It could be a sign and trade, like you see a lot in the NBA. That would be the least likely because...
But the sign would be signing the franchise tag tender and traded, right?
Well, you could sign an extension.
Okay, so that is still...
Yeah.
Okay.
And
well, he could only do that, though, until the 16th, right?
Right, you would have to think that...
Well, yeah, technically, more than likely, yeah, because but it wouldn't actually go on the salary cap of the team if they're just doing it to trade him.
Right.
But the risk there would be, let's say that they, you know, the sign and trade involves a deal that the Patriots in no way, shape, or form ever meant to give Asante Samuel... Then he'd trade him somewhere for whatever reason. The trade doesn't go through. He fails a physical, something like that. Mm-hmm. Now he has to come back, and that deal's valid.
Right.
He'd have to take that deal on the, you know, on the salary cap, and the Patriots wouldn't do that. It would more than likely be the franchise thing where you just, you know, you trade like they do with Tabucky Jones.
Right.
They traded.
Of course, that was before
Tabucky
the draft.
Signed the tender.
Right.
Then they traded him to New Orleans, New Orleans worked out a new deal with him.
Exactly. How do you guys see this? The outcome of the Asante Samuel saga?
I think he shows up mid-August and plays out the season on the tender.
I would agree. Sometime between July 27th and, say, August 25th.
With whatever time he needs to be ready and good to go, because he doesn't want to embarrass himself. Season opener, he wants to be healthy but ready to play, in shape. So maybe he avoids, you know, the preseason action through there, comes in time to get ready to go. But I just think when it comes down to it, it's easy to say something in June, oh, I'm going to sit out the first 10 weeks. It's a lot different when those checks of $455,000 are being left on the table.
Players threaten the holding out. I guess technically it's not holding out if you're not under contract, but players under the franchise tender bring this up all the time, but it's rare. Has it ever happened that a player has actually sat out for 10 weeks? I don't think so in the NFL.
Sat out half seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Galloway...
I was going to say, you did the research.
I want to say Keenan McCardell.
Yeah.
There's been a couple. Guys have sat out entire seasons.
It hasn't been franchise situations.
Right, for other reasons.
Per se. It's been some of them have, but, you know.
There was early on in this whole process, mid-90s-ish, there were guys who sat out entire seasons because they were unhappy with the franchise tag and all that. More recently, it's been the case of guys unhappy with contracts, sit out a half a season, get traded. Joey Galloway showed up, was traded after the season.
Right.
So it certainly hasn't worked out where any type of holdout led to the guy staying in that city. That point, you're gone.
Yeah, I got to think that he, at some point in the preseason, maybe it's not training camp, maybe it's after camp officially closes, but I got to think that he wants to get himself on the field for a preseason game or two, and then he's just going to play. I think Andy and Bilo, you guys are right. There's no way he can sit there and allow himself to lose that kind of money. Well, see, to me, it's a risk-reward. If it was just that, I could understand it. But you're also risking when you come back. Now, after sitting out for 10 weeks playing the last 7 games that he would be able to play, well, what if you're not at your best? Or what if you're not near your best? And forgetting about injury. Well, I mean, he could stay healthy but just not really play that well.
Conditioning and
how
and
much do you potentially cost yourself?
Right.
I would think if you're Asante Samuel, you want to put yourself in the best possible position going into 2008 to make sure your marketability is as high as it can be. And to me, the best way to do that would be to play as well as you can over a full 2007.
Exactly.
But the other risk-reward is the risk of getting hurt versus the reward of staying healthy versus the reward of being...
That's what this whole thing is about.
So you have a couple different risk-reward scenarios there, and only he can sit down and make his little pros and cons list and say, how should I handle this?
Andy and I were even talking about, would the Patriots go so far as to say, look, come into camp. We can't work out a long-term deal for you, but come into camp. We promise we won't franchise you next year. I don't know if they would or not.
To me, that's significant leverage to lose.
And if they did, I don't think we'd ever know about it. I think it would be one of those. Because there's been all kinds of rumors, innuendo, whether or not they may not have done that in the past with Adam Vinatieri.
Right.
I don't know if they did or not. Right. I'm not trying to spread anything. These are just rumors that have been out there, and I do not know if they ever did that or not. I mean, on the surface, it would seem something that would be unpatriot-like. They don't necessarily want to lose any chip that they might have. But
if
that
it
might
gets
be the
guy
best
in
way
for the full season
and happy, and happy.
That's what I was going to say. And it's seen as a gesture of negotiating in good faith. We're not really willing to commit right now, but we'll throw this out
come
there.
Come in, do it again.
Hopefully, we can talk again after you have the season. Maybe we can get a long term deal then. Right. Either way, you're still in good negotiating states.
Right, and you know, a guy like Dwight Freeney, who has multiple years of All Pro, you know, sack totals and all that. You know, Asante Samuel on the verge of potentially being an all-pro type of player, but really only one big season under his belt, so it's not quite the same as some of the other franchise tag guys. Now, in past years, the past situations that the Patriots have had with franchise tags, they've all ended in a different way. With Tabucky Jones, it was being traded to New Orleans. With Vinatieri, he was franchise tagged twice. Once he signed a long-term deal or a three-year deal, and then when that was up, in 2005, he signed the one-year tender. So it's all worked out in different ways. It's never lasted to this point as it is with Samuel. But
I would think the difference is I think they think Asante Samuel's a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. Ideally, they'd like to have him in uniform.
Exactly.
To Bucky Jones, I think they knew
they did that because
it was a value. Using the system to their advantage. Right. They knew they were going to give lose him, trade him. Let's not lose him for nothing.
Right.
I don't think they really said we're anywhere in the ballpark of Tabucky Jones.
They had
playing
no
for
intentions of
money.
Ever giving Tabucky Jones 3.1 million.
I think Samuel,
million.
It's a case of how valuable are you? We'd like to have you, but are you Nate Clements valuable? Are you market valuable?
Right. All right. So the Samuel situation, we continue on as we're 2 weeks away from training camp. See how that plays out, and as Paul mentioned, a couple of the draft picks reportedly have signed on, Mike Richardson and Clint Oldenburg. We expect that all of them, at least all the second-day guys, you got to figure will sign sometime soon, although Kareem Brown, there were some.
Which is eight of the nine picks.
Which is eight of the nine, and that's what I'm saying. Brandon Merriweather, really the only really key one, and the first-round pick still in the NFL, only one, I believe. Greg Olsen of the Bears has signed, so we'll see how that all plays out.
We're about to hit that stretch where they'll start to come fast and furious.
As Paul mentioned, vacations are ending. Personnel directors are coming back.
Kareem Brown's agent, right? It's flat out said. He goes, no, we haven't had any discussions.
Right.
They're on vacation.
Right.
You know, they know how it works.
And for the most part, it's all slotted.
It's all slotted.
Every once in a while, you get the first rounders. The Brady Quinn thinks he's worth, top 10 money just because the Dolphins
passed on him. First rounders sometimes, like you see the thing with Joe Thomas now that Andy and I have been railing against because, they're trying to pay him less because he's a tackle and whatever. For the most part, they're all slotted in. They're going to have to come in. There's
and
a limit to the amount of, the terms now are limited with the CBA. Right. So really,
and even Brandon Merriweather,
no
24th, we got to expect that it'll happen eventually. And as we get closer to July 27th, the first day of camp. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Patriots Roster Report. It's not an issue of PFW. It's nothing like that. It's an edition of the Patriots Roster Report. For Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, I'm Brian Lowe. Back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Remember that training camp is right around the corner. For daily practice schedule updates and cancellation notification, please call the training camp hotline at 508-549-0001. It's powered by TalkingStreet.com. Thanks for listening, and go Pack!